listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another broadcast of Diaconia, a Call to Service. As I like to remind people, diaconia is a Greek word, and that means that is the Greek word for service. And we are here as deacons, Deacon Dave Brensick and I, and my name is Richard Hudzik. I'm the vicar for deacons for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I also get to serve the people in Westchester at Divine Providence Parish. Deacon David is the associate director of the office, and he hangs out and serves the people at St. Louise de Marillac. In a second, I will introduce our special guest for this half hour for this show today. As I like to do always, for those who are new to listening to this show, just a word or two, very brief in terms of what we think we're doing here. It's a show by deacons, but it's not a show about deacons. Rather, we want to discuss with our guests who come in what it means to serve. Service is dear to the heart of the deacon. That's what he's supposed to be doing. He is supposed to be an icon of Christ the servant and serve people through acts of charity, through teaching, through ministry of the word, as well as, of course, serving at the altar through various liturgical ministries. So that's what we're doing, and we want to, in a sense, this is show and tell. We want to show to you a shining example, we think, of service to the Lord's people. And to help us with that, we want to introduce to you Shawn Tiemeyer. And Shawn is here to talk about the ministry that she does with Women at the Well Ministry. It is a prison ministry. And I'll get out of the way here. And Shawn, tell us something about yourself and how you came to be with Women at the Well Ministry and what Women at the Well Ministry might be. So who are you?
Well, first, thank you, Richard and David, for inviting me to be here today. I always love talking about my ministry. Women at the Well Prison Ministry is a ministry. It's a group of women who have felt called by God to minister to women and incarcerated women. Most of us started with a group called Kairos Prison Ministry, which is an international ministry that ministers to men and women,
And that's true for you. You were with Kairos?
I was with Kairos, okay. And going to Dwight. I don't know if you remember Dwight Correctional Center was where they
You're not talking about the character on The Office. This is
no. Okay. It's in Dwight,
okay.
Illinois.
Okay. I'm so with it.
It's a couple of hours actually from here, and it's where all the maximum security women were held. So that's where I began. And then, if you remember, Governor Quinn shut that down, and all the women were relocated to Logan Correctional Center.
Where's Logan?
It's in Lincoln, Illinois, which is 3 hours from here, so it's a longer trip for us.
Just outside Springfield.
It's 30 miles north of Springfield, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the name Women at the Well, where's that come from?
When the women went to Logan, they would only allow a two-day retreat. Kairos always does these wonderful three-and-a-half-day retreats. And they decided that their ministry does not do two-day retreats.
The Kairos people.
The Kairos people. So they canceled going to Logan, and there was a core of us in the ministry that wanted to continue. So we got together, and we thought about the woman at the well, right, in the Gospel of John. And we thought about how that's what we wanted. We wanted to be women coming together around the well, encountering Christ, and then, you know, going out and bringing others. So we decided to name ourselves Women at the Well Prison Ministry.
And when did you start going down to Logan? What's my history of recollection of Governor Quinn, 10 years ago? How long have you been doing the
Logan? I think Dwight was closed like in 2013.
Okay.
And we got into Logan initially as Kairos, just trying a couple of two-day retreats. Women at the Well then developed maybe 2015, somewhere around there.
And how many women are there at the Well? I mean, how many in your group?
We currently have 20 women. It takes 13 to put on a retreat. So, you know, we get who we can and who's available and to do our retreats.
Are these weekend retreats or whatever the schedule allows at the prison?
We are allowed into the prison on Friday and Saturday. It used to be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. that we would be there with the residents. Mm-hmm. And the prison in the last couple of years has limited us now to 8 to 5.
Okay. It's an ecumenical group, too.
And we're an ecumenical group. So it's really wonderful. We have people from Willow Creek. We have Lutherans. We have many Catholics, non-denominational Christian.
Now, is that... I'm going to venture that that's both a blessing and also presents its challenge. And I want you to answer that as soon as we come back from our break. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sajit Silva, and I work for Catholic Relief Services in Sri Lanka. During this Lent, respond to Pope Francis' invitation to share the journey and stand alongside those bearing the crosses of hunger and poverty by giving to CRS Rice Bowl. 25% of all funds raised in the Diocese of Chicago through CRS Rice Bowl stay in the Archdiocese of Chicago to help people in this community, with the remaining funds serving our brothers and sisters in countries around the world. Visit archchicago.org/CRS to learn more about the people and communities you support through your Lenten gift to CRS Rice Bowl.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
And we're back for segment two of Diakonia, A Call to Service. Joining me, my name is Richard Hudzik. Dave Brentzik is also here. And Sean Tiemeyer, who is a minister with Women at the Well Prison Ministry. And just before the break, I was asking Sean about the ecumenical. Dave brought it up, and I thought I'd pursue it. The fact that the 20-some women involved in Women at the Well Ministry are from a variety of Christian faiths and Christian backgrounds. Is that a plus or a minus, or what does that do to what you do at the in this ministry?
I think in this ministry it's a plus.
And how so?
Because we're our goal is to look like our audience, right? We want a diverse group of women presenting. We want, because we get a diverse set of women, and everyone touches people differently. And I, you know, our ecumenical friends, some of our evangelical friends, are just so much more charismatic than I am, and so they're
well,
able.
Well, now let's be clear. You're a very charismatic person, but you're talking about slain in the spirit kind of charismatic.
Yes, okay, exactly. Okay. Right.
Just clear.
Okay. And so they're able to bring that dimension to our ministry that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of gifts and that they bring to the group. I think one of the challenges is lots of times you have Catholics who are so dedicated to the sacraments because that's what we thrive on,
right.
And they want to bring those sacraments in. Like they want to do a communion service, and I'm going, no, we can't do a communion service. Or they want to say the rosary, and I'm not. They're lovely things,
right.
But you don't do that in an ecumenical group. And it's that balance between what can we bring in, what do we have to look at through the lenses of other denominations, and make it cohesive and unitive, and something that we all are confident and comfortable presenting, and that the women then can look at and see the different people and the different personalities and go talk more to the people that, you know, that touch them.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
You know, no, it does. It does. No, I agree. It's such a blessing to have your eyes opened to other ways of praying, other ways of being with the Lord. So, no, absolutely. Now, you didn't, you weren't born into Women at the Well ministry. How did you get going with this ministry?
So I'm embarrassed to say that I...
Nobody's listening, so it's okay. It's just between us.
It was really hard for me to come into this ministry. I was introduced to it at a Christmas party, and this woman was very excited. She had started with Kairos and just was very excited about the ministry and what she was doing and invited me to come. And I have to say, two thoughts came to my mind. One, and she said to me, you know, Jesus told us to visit prisoners. And I'm thinking, well, I visit prisoners because I'm a minister of care. And I visit people who are prisoners of their body in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to go visit those people in prison who have done some very terrible things. So I was satisfied with my answer for a year. And she asked me again the next Christmas. And I, of course, said no. But in reflecting and praying, I just felt this deep call from God telling me I need to at least try it. So I decided to try it. And it's the stepping out, you know, out of my comfort zone into an area where I really did not want to go, that I truly believe God brought me much closer to Him. And as the blind man from the gospel last week, I felt my eyes were opened. I had considered these women to be disrespectful, hurtful, thoughtless. I mean, you know, all of these things. You see it on TV. You read it in the news. They have no conscience. I mean, and so I went in there with this attitude that this is what I was going to see. And I really got in there, and they were nothing like I expected. They were kind. They were thoughtful. They were engaged. I think what I was struck by most was we would be at a table with six residents, and they would support each other in ways that I never could, because they understood what it was like to be in prison. They understood the dynamics of having children and not being able to care for them, and what do you do when when someone is asked to relinquish rights to those children. And they could support each other, and I could say nothing because I've not been in that situation. And there was a woman at my table who could not spell and write, and one of the things we asked them to do is take notes of their experience. And one of the other residents would show her her notes so that she could copy them and would help her to spell words. I hadn't expected that. Mm-hmm. They were delightful to be with. Mm-hmm. They were appreciative. They made me recognize that with their, after as I heard their stories and their backgrounds, they made me realize that by the grace of God, there go I, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were abused. They were brought up in homes where there's no food. They're sleeping on the floors. They didn't get educated. They left school in the eighth grade. I began to wonder what I would do if I were living under those conditions. Would I have not gone the same way that they did? So as I said, I felt like the blind, my eyes were open to being much more loving of these women. I began to see them as women who had made bad choices, but nonetheless, they were women just like the rest of us
people.
In the room.
They were people.
They were people, absolutely.
So it's a sense of, one hand, it breaks your heart to enter into this. It breaks your heart in the sense of it breaks it open to a new way of thinking or the vision metaphor,
right,
the new way of
seeing,
new way of seeing.
Thinking.
Does that have ramifications in the other ministry that you might do closer to home?
Absolutely.
How so?
Because it opens up your eyes not to just the women in prison, but then all of the people around you. You know, the homeless, when people are now arrested for things, I don't just obviously assume that they've done what they're, you know, I wonder what their backgrounds are. Why were they where they were? Why did this happen to them? You know, did they feel they needed to steal or whatever it is that they're being accused of? It's sort of a different way of seeing people. I believe Christ calls us to see people that way. Mm-hmm. So I love this ministry because I just have grown to care about what happens to these women.
Okay, now, when we come back, we'll take a break in a second. We're going to come back and ask what this experience at the retreat looks like, how that happens and what you've seen as a result of that experience. So
okay.
We'll be back for part three.
Hi, my name is Mary Bielski, and I'm a national speaker and youth minister. And I'm excited to introduce you to our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II and address questions on themes like life, love, and human sexuality. Teens and young adults, please join us June 14th to the 20th at St. Xavier University for an amazing experience of prayer, fellowship, and tackling the deepest mysteries of life and love and even more. More information can be found on respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Again, that's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive Benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Supich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
And we are back for segment three of Diaconia, a Call to Service. We have the privilege today of talking with Sean Tiemeyer, who is telling us about Women at the Well, her experiences. And I forgot what I posed just before the break, but let me... About the retreat. Okay, all right. That was in my head somewhere. What do these retreats look like? What's the feel and flavor of the retreats?
The retreats are really about forgiveness and love and no unconditional love, and there are three talks. There are activities. If you've been to a Crucio or a CHIRP retreat, they're very much like that. Kairos retreats for teens. Our first talk tends to be about God's unconditional love and making good choices. You know, if you react to something, you're most likely not going to get the outcome that you want. If you reflect on it and respond, you might. And then we talk about Scripture and how important Scripture is to knowing what God wants us to do, how much God loves us, and as a way to lead our lives by what we're told in the Bible. And then we end with a talk about healing of memories. And that's important because they have really horrible memories, you know, of child abuse, of the way they're treated when they were arrested, all of these things. And so and then after that talk, we have a healing of memories service.
Now, this is a two-day?
It's a two-day retreat. Oh. So the second day is compassion, Christian compassion, Christian suffering, and then forgiveness. And then in between that, we have a lot of meditation, we have prayers, we have activities, singing. They love to sing hymns.
You're a very good singer yourself, is what I hear. Right?
No. I don't lead the singing. Okay. We leave that to someone who has a very good voice.
Because we were going to ask you to sing a little something.
Not me.
Song.
Never mind.
You can get Dave to do that, my
very
husband.
Good.
Do the residents have an opportunity to do any sharing, or do they do sharing?
So we split them up at tables. We have a table leader or two. So we are at tables with anywhere from 6 to 7 of the residents, and they share at the tables.
Okay.
And what do you see coming out of this, the fruits of this work among the women?
So there's so many things that we see, and I go by what the women tell us. I mean, I was struck at our first retreat when a woman stood up, and at the end where we give them time to talk, she said that she'd been there a very long time, and she said, "No one from my church that I attended regularly has visited me, called me, or written me." And she said, "And here you're strangers, and you come to show me God's love." I think it's important for them to know that the Christian community has not forgotten them. I think that's one of the main things that we bring. I had a woman, again, at that first retreat who she admitted she came for our cookies, because we bring all these cookies and that they get to have. And sometimes they get to take them back to their rooms. And she said, "I came for the cookies," she said, "but, you know, listening to you, I've learned that," well, she said, "I have been trying to figure out for years how to make up for all the bad things I did and all the people that I hurt." And she says, "You've come to tell me that in 33 AD, someone did that for me. Mm-hmm. I need to forgive myself, and I need to move forward."
Now, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That
not only makes you feel rewarded, but it's also a blessing for the people there, and that just spreads like the love of God spreads. Before we go our separate ways, for those listening who are not going to be joining you, for whatever reason, is there a way that people can support women at the Well Prison Ministry?
Pray.
Okay.
Pray. We, you know, the Illinois is short of money.
Mm-hmm.
Institutions are getting less. They have actually, we used to do two retreats a year. They've cut us down to one. And to David's point, I think it's finances. They have to pay a correctional officer to be with us. We need prayers. We need prayers for more volunteers. We need prayers for the warden to be more open to us coming in and being with the women.
Is there a website, a post office box? Is there a way to communicate with you, or can they do it through the diaconate office? What's your advice?
We have an email address.
Okay, what's that?
It's women at the well, all lowercase, PM at gmail.com.
Women at the well, PM at gmail.com.
Correct.
You can communicate through that. And
yes.
I hear in my ear the little tinkling sound of the music to close us. Sean, thank you so much. David, thank you so much. And I'm
thank
very
you.
Encouraged and enthused. And I hope some of our listeners feel the same way, because it's such a blessing what you're doing.
Thank so you, Sean.
Thank you
very much for having me.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.